Welcome to Into Africa. My name is Mvemba Pezo Dizolele. I'm a senior fellow and the director of the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This is a podcast where we talk everything Africa, politics, economics, security, and culture. Welcome.
Several years ago, I sat on a panel with Dr. Denis Mukwege, the Congolese gynecologist and Nobel Prize winner who treats women who have been victimized through sexual violence in Eastern DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. During that discussion, one of the members of the audience asked the good doctor how he and his staff dealt with stress and trauma. We definitely were surprised when the doctor responded and said, "This is a serious problem for us, for myself and my staff. We are really overwhelmed by the horrors of the stories that our patients share with us when they come to the hospital." In fact, the doctor said he had struggled because at first when patients came to the hospitals, he wanted to hear their stories as he treated them. He took the time to know them, understand what they'd gone through. But he said with time, that became just too much. And now he had resolved to treating the patient and not getting too deep into the stories because it was just too much and he had to protect his sanity. And this, he said, was the case also with his staff. He pleaded that his staff and other health workers needed psychological help, they needed counseling, and they needed support. That was the first time, at least for me, that I came across this problem, this challenge that healthcare workers may be facing as they grapple with the enormity of whatever situation they face with their patient. We know that today the world has gone through a big calamity, which is the pandemic that we all have experienced over the last 3 years. But we also know that the world is full of other crises. Sudan is raging with conflict. In the Middle East, we have various countries with conflict. Mozambique, the list of countries that are grappling with issues is not short. But this means that throughout all those conflicts, we're dealing with health issues. We will remember several months ago, there were a lot of reports on the medical crisis that spawned out of the humanitarian crisis in Tigray, in Ethiopia. Joining me today to discuss how mental health affects healthcare workers around the world is Rawan Amade, who leads mental health programs for Project Hope, where she continues to drive impactful initiatives and contribute her extensive knowledge and skill to this particular area. Project Hope is a global health and humanitarian organization that is involved in providing vital mental health support to health workers in Ethiopia, Sierra Leone, Nigeria, Sudan, Zambia, Namibia, and various other communities across the African continent. Rawan Amade, welcome to Into Africa, and we're happy to have you.
Thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about mental health of healthcare workers.
Rawan, this sounds like a tall order when we know that the world is grappling with a lot of crises, and all these crises, especially the humanitarian ones, have a medical component to them. Project Hope that you work with is heavily involved in this space. What exactly does Project Hope do?
Definitely. So I'd like to start with our mission, which is placing power in the hands of local healthcare workers to save lives across the globe. This is what our activities is concentrated on. We work on the front line of the world's most urgent health challenges. We mainly partner with communities and with healthcare workers and public health systems to ensure sustainable changes in the affected location. As you mentioned, we are facing compounded and complex traumas in multiple areas in the world. And especially after COVID-19, I'd like to think about it as the silver lining of COVID-19, that we shed the light heavily on mental health and specifically the mental health of healthcare workers. healthcare workers, like the type of the job that they do on a regular basis, is already very intense and very stressful. And adding to that, the COVID-19 pandemic, and adding to that, the other cultural, societal, political, economic factors that are individual in each country, you can imagine the burnout that healthcare workers are facing and have to deal with all of those circumstances on a daily basis. So our project, which is Mental Health and Resilience for Healthcare Workers Responding to COVID-19, is an initiative to build the capacity of healthcare workers in topics related to mental health, to building resilience, self-care, stress management, to help those healthcare workers have this knowledge, have tools and techniques to really get them through the day and to shed the light on the importance of their mental health. They are our hero healthcare workers. And if we do not pay attention and take care of their mental health and their mental well-being, then they would not be able to take care of us.
Many of us watched during the COVID-19 pandemic on TV and listened to radio, read this terrible stories about healthcare workers who there were cases of suicide. There were cases of just people breaking down, like you said. But also, there was just this loneliness. I remember doctors kept diaries and just horrific stories, you know, hopelessness. So how exactly does Project Hope approach this space, particularly in the countries that we've mentioned in Africa? What type of program do you run? How does that unfold on the ground?
So in Africa specifically, we're implementing this initiative in more than 20 different countries. Basically, it's a TOT model training. So we have identified local mental health experts, and we have curriculum, which is the Mental Health and Resilience Curriculum, which was originally developed in New York City. So the mental health experts that are identified in each geographical location will take on this training material, adapt it to the local context of the country where we're implementing. And then we deliver this training in a TOT model where healthcare workers are identified to attend this training and to take this training and deliver it to their own colleagues.
Sorry, what does TOT stand for?
Training of trainers.
Thank you. Please go on.
The TOT model is champion healthcare workers who are really interested in mental health. They get the training, they get the material, technical support from the local master trainers and from Project Hope to cascade those trainings and to do their own training with their teams or with their colleagues in the hospital or in the primary healthcare center where they work. So this is not only a training where we deliver knowledge, but it's also a model where we initiate conversation about mental health. So the person who attended the training and goes on and cascades to their colleagues, it will help create this culture at the workplace where mental health is important, where mental health is discussed, where if anyone is really dealing with burnout or anxiety or any mental health symptom, it's okay to talk about it and there is a safe space for them to reach out, to ask for help. This is the project. We've been implementing it since 2020, and we reached more than 100,000 healthcare workers across the globe, from which around more than 25,000 healthcare workers are from the African continent specifically.
So where do these trainers come from, and how do you select people who will be trained on the ground?
Initially, we partner with local organizations or the ministries of health. Or we also had a partnership with Africa CDC. All of those health stakeholders help us in the identification of the local master trainers who are mental health professionals in the countries of implementation. And then those individuals, with the help of local health stakeholders or local NGOs, they reach out to healthcare workers in multiple settings, either primary healthcare or secondary healthcare. And whomever is interested and consider themselves as a champion in mental health, they would be identified to attend the training and to cascade the training to their colleagues. And then we follow up with those newly trained trainers to see how their sessions are ongoing within their own organization and colleagues.
I presume it's very difficult to talk about mental health. Most people do not even recognize when they stress. We are wired to think that we should just continue pushing. Are we facing any hurdles? Do you face any hurdles just in the way people even conceive of mental health, particularly from healthcare workers themselves?
Well, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned this because stigma is still a huge issue when it comes to mental health. In Africa, in other continents, even in the United States, because we are also implementing this project domestically. So there is always a big stigma when it comes to talking about mental health. And especially when discussing this with healthcare workers, because they are health providers, they take care of other people. So it's harder for them to identify the stress and the burnout that they are facing and linking it to other symptoms that are related to mental health and that are not necessarily like physical symptoms or related to something physiological. Like, this is the first thing, stigma in identifying and really acknowledging that they are personally going through stress or burnout. And the other stigma is in reaching out and seeking mental health services. So especially when it comes to nurses or doctors, it's going to be a bit harder for them to reach out and say, okay, I need help, and then reach out to another healthcare professional. So this is one big issue when it comes to stigma and identifying themselves as needing help and actually reaching out for help. And in addition to their workload, you know, healthcare workers, they're always busy. They always have like shifts at the hospital. It's really hard for them to take a minute for themselves. In addition to like the underinvestment in public health infrastructure, like even if you acknowledge you have a problem and you want to reach out and seek help, the availability of mental health professionals with services that are affordable and accessible to everyone is an issue still. We still have a gap between the need for healthcare, for mental health services, and the availability and accessibility of mental health services.
So a couple points there, Rawan. On one level, the stigma, how do you have described it so well. I mean, if you are the healthcare provider, you're the doctor, the nurse, you don't want to be there crying or showing that you are weak. You struggle with this thing. You have to be strong for your patient. With your trainers, how have you been able to win the trust? People have to trust you for them to open up. So what kind of things have your organization done in trying to help them overcome this issue? One of acceptance, dealing with that stigma, and then availing themselves to the training.
Yes, it's a very good question. And I consider it as one of the key successes of this project is the contextualization of this training. So again, usually when we have budget to do a training, we get some international keynote speaker and we go to the country and we do the training. So we thought that this would not work in a topic very sensitive and individual as mental health. So this is why we were adamant and we were very focused on reaching out and identifying local mental health experts from the country and from the geographical location where we are implementing, and adapting and the adaptation process of the training material to the local context of the geographical location where we're implementing. We've done focus group discussions, we've done key informant interviews, just to really get the sense of the actuality and the context of mental health in each of the countries where we're implementing, so we can adapt the training and make it more targeting the healthcare workers. So when they come to the training, first of all, they feel connected with the master trainer because they speak the same language, they know the crisis that the country is going through, they've been in the same crisis together, and the training material and the language of the training material really speaks to them directly and not like just a random training coming from overseas and we're just delivering the knowledge in country. So the localization and the contextualization of the training and the availability of local experts is what gave the strength for this project and made healthcare workers really comfortable during the session. And it was like a safe space where they can share whatever and all the crisis and all of the burnout and anxiety that they've been going through in those sessions in a very comfortable way.
So the original trainers, I suppose, came from the United States, who designed the material, and then you pass that knowledge to the master trainers on the ground.
Yes.
And then they work in the cultural context of whatever they're living and whatever conflict they're facing. That definitely creates trust. They're speaking the same language. They're coming from the same cultural context. The second point I want to bring, you mentioned that mental health is typically privatized in a lot of countries. It's not something that state provides because it's expensive, the nature of it. How then are you received? How are the programs received by Ministry of Public Health? The CDC, I presume, will be on board, but the other ministries of public health, whether it's be at the national level or at the municipal level, how does this work for you?
So this is why I mentioned it's a silver lining of COVID-19, because after the pandemic and after the healthcare stakeholders within the Ministry of Health identified the level of stress that healthcare workers are going through and how it's affecting them and their productivity, it was very easy. And it was like a conversation opener that, okay, healthcare workers are struggling, healthcare workers are leaving their job, we're having shortage of nurses, shortage of doctors, which is impacting the productivity and the cost effectiveness of a lot of healthcare services. So all of those components made it easier and highlighted the importance of mental health of healthcare workers. And it was easier for us to really tackle this and offer this project as a first line solution to tackle the mental health of healthcare workers after the pandemic.
So the pandemic, I think crisis sometime, you know, you say silver lining, you know, in French we say, a quelque chose malheur est bon, meaning sometime when bad things happen, good things come out of it. So it took this major crisis to do this. But we know, of course, crises or smaller crises are happening every day across the world. Do you see any difference in the way African healthcare workers reacted to this program and the way you've seen it in other countries?
Yes, so this is very, very interesting because we were able to travel to a couple of countries and attend live training sessions. So some of the nice testimonials that I really like is healthcare workers are used to attending trainings. Like this is something because of the need for continuous capacity building, they're used to attending trainings. But this is the first time they attended training that is for themselves and not for patients. So they're usually attending patient care or patient-centered trainings, but now this training comes to help them to provide support for themselves. So this is something new. They were not used to really attending training for themselves or talking about their own mental health, rather the mental health of patients. So this is something very unique about this project, and especially with the timing, because they were having infectious disease trainings and like how to deal with COVID, how to wear PPEs and all of that. And this training was different, and they were very grateful for taking the time and having this safe space where they can really discuss anything and everything related to their own experience and their own mental health.
Do you see any increased ownership of the program by ministries of public health on the continent, in Africa, that is?
Yes, actually. And especially that we've been working on this project for a couple of years now. So we made sure to have a sustainability component because we are working on this training. It's contextualized to the countries where we're implementing. And we want this training and this initiative to stay in country even after Project Hope specifically goes away. So in a couple of countries, we had like MOUs with the Ministry of Health, where they promised that they really want this initiative to continue. And they partnered with the local organization in the countries to keep on doing this training. And they promised to keep access of healthcare workers and the hospitals, or private or public, so this training can keep happening. In other countries, we had like smaller initiatives, like in one public hospital, we created one safe space or a mental health room where healthcare workers can go inside this room, like have some quiet time or discuss anything that's bothering them. We also had partnership with ministries of health to get like continuous education credits and to make this training part of the training packages that healthcare workers have to attend on a regular basis. So we had some sustainability component. It was different in every country, but we also are continuing to have advocacy efforts within health stakeholders to keep this initiative running and to keep the momentum and the highlighting the importance of mental health of healthcare workers.
Sounds like a big project that you have engaged in. You have trained over 100,000 healthcare workers around the world. In Africa, you've said that you've trained about 20,000 plus. How do you intend to scale this? Because this is a problem that is permanent. As long as there will be crisis, healthcare workers will be faced with this problem.
Yes. So this is one of our goals for 2023. So this training project, again, was identified as a need after COVID-19. So it's heavily linked to the stressors that healthcare workers were facing during the pandemic. One big component of this year's effort as within Project Hope is to try to adapt this training to target more crisis or other crisis other than COVID-19. So whether natural disasters, man-made conflict, or other crises, we're trying to adapt this training and have a training that is more generic and more general and targeting a crisis other than COVID-19. We're also always trying to scale this project in existing countries where we already implemented and to introduce it in new countries in Africa and in other continents as well. So this is a continuous effort. We're always advocating for the mental health of healthcare workers. We're trying to publish articles because we have collected a lot of data from the qualitative and the quantitative data from this project. So there is a heavy pull on the advocacy to really shift the focus to the mental health and the mental well-being of healthcare workers specifically, and of course, mental health generally, since mental health is still a very underfunded sector.
As an organization, you described all the challenges ahead of you, but what are the major obstacles that you're facing as you're trying to scale this up, is trying to expand your own programs around the world? 100,000 is a lot, but I presume that's just a drop when you consider the size of healthcare workers around the world. So I suspect that your organization has bigger goals. How does obstacles stand on the way? What are they and how are you dealing with those?
So basically, one of the big obstacles of implementation of any project is the availability of funding. Unfortunately, mental health within the health sector does not really have a lot of finances specifically for this. Gladly, in the humanitarian sector, mental health is getting traction and a lot of donors and humanitarian organizations are really focusing on mental health and are creating initiatives and activities targeting mental health of the general population and healthcare workers specifically. So again, advocacy and always talking about the importance and raising awareness about like how much healthcare workers are being affected due to the burnout levels and all of the different factors associated with their work is very important to get the attention of donors and get funding for this project specifically. Another issue I would say is the availability of human resources. It's very hard even in the States to identify and find local mental health experts to help us either like with the training material or with the delivery of the training sessions. So we still have a lot of shortage in mental health experts in Africa and outside Africa. And human resources has been a big issue and a big challenge while implementing this project. I don't want to repeat myself, but stigma is still also a huge challenge when it comes to the diagnosis of mental health issues and the seeking help and reaching out to mental health professionals and mental health services.
For a project like this, for the work that you're doing, Ministry of Public Health, It's good to have them on your side. But I suspect you will need policymakers who are convinced of the great work that you're doing, who make themselves your advocate. Have there been efforts on the U.S. side, for instance, through U.S. Congress to get friends of mental care workers, mental health, if I can say that, among congressmen, among policymakers? Also, this will be the same in other countries you work in, whether in Africa or elsewhere. Have you built this network of supporters, I should call them, beyond the healthcare workers themselves? They're busy doing the work, so they need somebody else to speak up on these issues. Or is there any campaign where you have high-profile individuals who take up this cause?
May was Mental Health Month, so a lot of social media posts and a lot of traction was built focusing on mental health, which is great because a couple of years ago, we didn't have this much light on mental health. We don't have specific activities that are targeting policymakers, but we have specific activity related to the advocacy of mental health of healthcare workers. And this is why we have engaged in every country where we implement this project, we engage local health stakeholders. So we try within, for example, if we worked within the Ministry of Health, the Department of Mental Health, we try to keep connection with those individuals in the Ministry of Health to keep pushing for this initiative and to help them, even if we cannot provide, like, I don't know, donations or the funding to implement this. Maybe they can, and we can provide the support for them. So again, it's a very important point to work with policymakers. It was not one of the activities of this project, but we know that advocacy within the correct local health stakeholders is what got us and opened the door to be able to implement and to be able to reach this high number of healthcare workers. And I agree that we need to put more effort and more activities targeting policymakers to really shed the light on the importance of mental health before we have a crisis of like shortage of doctors or shortage of nurses or people just leaving the sector and never looking behind.
One thing that is always a challenge in most situations, whether you're talking about this case of the mental health of healthcare workers or any other situation, is there's a gap, right? There's a gap between the perception of what's happening and the reality of that perception. In many ways, you've told us about that reality and what you guys are trying to do as an organization. But there is also the perception. So where is that gap and how do we close that gap?
So unfortunately, whenever we talk about mental health is a huge part of health. So we keep saying, and it's a WHO statement, that there is no health without mental health. However, we still have a lot of neglect, if I might say, for mental health specifically, and not linking it to the entire health sector. So we acknowledge that there are much more health problems that are taking the attention of stakeholders, whether communicable diseases or chronic diseases. So they do have the highlight, the spotlight is on those problems, and mental health is not getting the traction or the highlight that it needs, because a lot of those issues that we face nowadays is linked to mental health. So really talking more about mental health and destigmatizing it and raising awareness about mental health, about the symptoms of mental health, because maybe your headache is because you're stressed, not because you need an MRI to see like what's going on. So there is some very small messages to highlight the importance of mental health so it can get the attention that it needs from healthcare workers is very important at this point. And when we talk about the mental health of healthcare workers specifically, I just would like to say that our health depends on the mental health and the physical well-being of healthcare workers. So if we really want to take care of ourselves, we need to take care of our hero healthcare workers.
This is a huge topic, big gap to be filled, money needed to do this project. Definitely across Africa, this is a reality that we are contending with in various crises across the continent itself. Rawan Amade, who leads our mental health programs for Project Hope, We thank you for joining us today to raise the profile and awareness on this important topic. Thank you very much, Rawan.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for listening. We want to have more conversations about Africa. Tell your friends. Subscribe to our podcast at Apple Podcasts. You can also read our analysis and report at csis.org/Africa. So long.